This is a CK to Z news update.
According to the Canadian Mental Health Association, approximately 15% of people living in Canada experience the winter blues, while 2-3% suffer from seasonal affective disorder, a type of depression that arises temporarily in winter. Kira McDuffie, a therapist living and working on Cortez Island, spoke to CK to Z News about strategies to overcome the low mood phenomenon of this season.
Could you speak a little bit about the type of work that you offer?
Absolutely. I am a registered clinical counselor, and I'm trained in transpersonal psychotherapy. I'm also trained in art therapy and trauma and all kinds of various modalities. But my focus with people is in understanding the ego structure, understanding the personality, working with all kinds of different modalities and techniques to integrate trauma and integrate our inner polarities so that we can really know ourselves beyond our made up identities.
That sounds like a beautiful offering. Thank you for providing that to the community. Well, the main topic of our conversation today is going to be about mental health through the winter. And so some of the challenges I can think of the bat are there's fewer daylight hours. We're probably staying inside a lot more, maybe less movement. Are there any other ones that come to mind for you?
I think isolation is a big one on Cortez Island specifically. It can be that way anytime, but really specifically in the winter, people can isolate more. It's harder to go out. It's so dark at night and there's fewer things happening. Sometimes it can be the opposite, but there are fewer things available to go and experience in the winter as a rule. So I think isolation is a big one for people. And just the darkness. And what I was wanting to say about it is that it's a natural time for us to be in darkness and silence, right? And we all have a different relationship with that. And so partly, I think that what can happen is that extra space and that darkness can really bring things up for us. And so how we are with that is really important. I can say more.
Yes, please do. What do you suggest for folks as they come up against those times throughout the winter?
Well, I think that there's lots of strategies that we can employ for ourselves over winter and just recognizing, yeah, we are coming into shorter days and it's hard. And there is real neurobiology or the real physiological factor in how the light affects us neurochemically and the vitamin D and all those things. Those are real things. So we're up against that anyway. And then there's the emotional pieces. When we think about even like COVID, for example, was a time of really yin time, right? So rather than our yang energy really out there and active and doing stuff. And then the yin is the inward and the rest and digest and being in stillness. And COVID is a good example of observing that for people, as I do as a therapist, what people experienced during COVID. A lot of people found it very confronting to be alone and in themselves. And a lot of people that I worked with and even just observed over the period of COVID, the real lockdowns, a lot of people took it as an enormous opportunity for transformation and growth. And they did amazing things. They picked up an instrument. They started writing their novel. They started doing all the things that they hadn't been doing because they had so much activity in the way. And really doing a lot of healing. I mean, every therapist was booked fully during that time because people really were coming up against a lot of stuff and family and all kinds of reasons. But it was a powerful place of transformation. And I have a lot of people, I would say the majority, in fact, that I know and I worked with and I've seen over the last few years had such transformation in their life and such healthy and positive experiences and look at COVID as that. So I think we could look at the winter as a microcosm of that sort of opportunity for me and my husband. I love to paint. He loves to write. We get really excited about winter because it's not all the outside demands of everything, the garden and all the people and everything that's happening. So that's the practical piece, thinking about how do I want to spend this time internally? And then there's the social pieces like organizing a games night or organizing meditation night or whatever it is that you want to do and you want to connect with others to provide it if no one else is doing it or find out someone who is. But I always suggest that to clients. You need it, offer it. People will come. So we can think about that. The other thing I like to remember about the winter is that we only have to make it to December 21st before the light starts, before the days start getting longer. And that December is a beautiful time with the lights and the holidays and different feelings of that. So we can enjoy the darkness and enjoy the contrast of that, and then allow ourselves to celebrate this longer days as they start coming on December 21st.
So I'm hearing that you're really talking about being prepared. We know this is coming. COVID was a surprise on all levels, but mm-hmm. the winter is a regular thing. And I think especially the more years we spend on Earth, the more we know ourselves and what helps and what doesn't. But yeah, I'm hearing you in this encouragement to make friends with this time and use it for the gifts that it can hold.
I like that, the way you put that, just making friends with it. Because I think that generally a foundation to my work and to my support with people, it's to learn how to stop arguing with what's happening and to trust that what is arising is what we need. So if we're coming into depression, if we're coming into feelings of unwellness, that's an indication that something wants to be expressed. And I always say, what are we depressing? I don't see depression so much as a condition, but as a reaction to pain that we're trying not to feel. So if we can welcome things and stop arguing with our experience, then we can flow with it. And that's not always easy. Often we have all sorts of defense mechanisms going on that we don't even know we're arguing with it. First of all, we can dissociate. We can be so outside of it. We have addiction, all sorts of things that we can distract ourselves with. But if we intend to know ourselves even and intend to lean into some of the more uncomfortable things and really allow it, then it will transform us. And any practice we endeavor to do will transform us. So I really encourage my own clients to commit to practices. It doesn't matter if it's taking a walk every day or picking up an instrument and practicing it every day. It's the commitment to follow through that place where things get hard and we don't want to keep going. That hero's journey point, that great ordeal, that's what transforms us. So if we keep going in those moments, we will come through the other side and we will be transformed. And we all deeply want change, but we also deeply fear it. So we have this conflict, right, internally. And our commitment is what takes us through those things. So yeah, not being in argument with our experience, whatever it is. And if we came to Cortez, we were called, I believe. From an energetic perspective, this island has a higher frequency. It really does. And that has an impact on people. Everybody is affected by that. And that means it's harder sometimes to keep things out of consciousness here. We're more confronted with what is the lower vibrations, like the anger, the shame, the heaviness, those feelings. It's harder to keep that unconscious. So it wants to come up. It wants to be cleared. So we can be more confronted here. And I think that's happening too on a global level. We're just being confronted. So there's no way you can really hide from it. It's time. It's time to change. It's time to heal. So let's let the winter be our ally for that time and rest and really take in the space and the peace that's available.
Yeah, I agree with that perception of this island. Often people describe it as a deeper healing that they experience, maybe not even looking for it. So it can throw you off if you weren't expecting it. And then the other thing, because we're on the West Coast and it's generally milder than lots of other parts of the country, usually by early February, maybe later on, but definitely not as late as my family in Ontario or Quebec. It's like, oh, it's spring. Okay, we're done with that whole winter thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised by that every year because I grew up in Ontario too. And every time this, oh my gosh, the tulips or the daffodils are coming up. It surprises me every year how early spring comes here. Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky. You mentioned the creativity for yourself and your husband, for example, is a very important pursuit. And I wonder if you could say more about creativity in general as a healing or therapeutic practice. And also, what would you say to the people who are like, oh, I'm not good at that sort of thing. I'm not good at art.
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think that creativity is like our life force. It's like when we allow that to come up, and we all have a love-hate relationship with that in some way, because when we're opening to creativity, something is getting destroyed. Like there's some old way or there's some old pattern that is being challenged. So there's so many ways that we can engage in that. And I even tell people just to get a coloring book, as simple as that, because it's such a meditative, enjoyable process. And I always find that when people sit down and start doing something, they feel the healing effect of it. But it's hard sometimes to know what to do or how to do it if they don't already have a practice. And these days, there's so many beautiful classes online. There's so many things available online for very little money, too. They're not expensive. And you can get all these beautiful prompts, whether it's writing or painting or drawing or singing. It's just such a beautiful buffet of opportunity in that direction. And we all have those parts of us that got wounded at some time. And we need to be really kind to those parts and say, it's not about the product. It's not about what you create. It's about the process of it and how it feels to move in that flow and that energy of possibility, the unknown. That's the key. That's where our aliveness is. That's where we get excited. The cells start to vibrate when we go into the unknown. And that darkness is a big void of unknown. That's very exciting, but we often get anxiety and we freeze up because we don't trust the unknown. So our creativity and working with that can be healing on so many levels. And it feels good.
What a great answer. I'm really glad I asked that question. Is there anything else you feel that we haven't covered that you wanted to throw in there?
Breathing and going outside. I just want to say too.
Yes.
Breathing, go outside. Those are also really important things. I have a dog. I have two dogs. And the dogs are great for taking you outside. If you don't have a dog, just imagine that you have a dog that's telling you to go outside and go for walks, because it really helps to breathe and go outside and get lots of fresh air. It's that unknown. We need new stimulation. So if we're staying in the same stagnant space and energy, doing the same thing, we will lose our life force. So we need to shake it up at the same time and drop in and drop in and drop in. Yeah, I think that's saying enough.
Thank you so much, Kira. Really appreciate your time and your wisdom.
Yes, it's a great pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. Happy holidays, everybody.
You've been listening to an interview with registered clinical counselor Kira McDuffie about mental health challenges and solutions throughout the winter months. For CKTZ News, I'm Anastasia Avakumova.
CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.